We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in. We trust that you are having a wonderful day right here in the middle of November, the 12th of November, in beautiful Brevard County. And we want to thank you. This is a broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God and by our friends and partners. And if you would like to participate with that, I'm going to be sharing a study over the next few days, and I'll make that information available to you if you would like this handout that I'm going to be addressing. We'll give you information on how you can get that here a little bit later in the broadcast. But do want to invite you out to our vintage service today at 11 a.m. And then that will be followed up tonight, 7 o'clock, with our kids ministry program. We're inching ever closer to Thanksgiving and just a few days away from our Thanksgiving outreach. And if you would like to partner with us, you know, I've been talking about it for several days now. It does take resources that we do not have at this point in time. But if you would like to partner with us in reaching some low-income areas near our church there in Brevard County, we provide a Thanksgiving dinner all the way from the turkey to the pumpkin pie. And last year we met the needs of about 50 families. This year we would like to increase that as much as we can. And so if you would like to partner with us on that, you could make a donation at Merit Assembly of God. Just make the check out to them, write Thanksgiving on the memo line. Or if you wanted to be a partner with the radio program, you could write radio or refresh on the memo line, either one. Our address is 165 North Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We would like to say thank you to all of those who have visited over the past few weeks. We pray that you have enjoyed our services. We have had some really powerful services and really excited about what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God as we continue to increase in our walk with Him. So, also, this coming Friday night, I need to make mention of this, is our Single Moms Night Out, Friday night from 6 to 10 p.m. If you are in the Merritt Island area and could use some time, maybe you're looking at possibly doing some early Christmas shopping, grocery shopping, just doing housework, or just sitting down and enjoying some peace of quiet, we provide a ministry for single moms to watch their kids, feed them, keep them busy, all with in a safe and secure environment. So if that would be a benefit to you, we would ask that you would RSVP to us at 454-4263 or send us an email at meritassembly@hotmail.com. That way we make sure that we have adequate coverage to take care of all of the kids. So today I want to take you to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8. It says, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And this is a passage known as the Lord's Prayer, where he is teaching the disciples to pray. He had started off in verse 5 talking to them about how they shouldn't pray. And so I encourage you to look at that, because it is not simply reciting words or praying for impact or influencing or trying to impress those who may be around you. But he goes on and with the positive instructions in verse number 8, and it says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." And two things I want to address from verse number 8 there. First of all, that when we pray, it is a relationship. It is not, we are not praying out of religious obligation or religious duty, but we are praying out of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I know that in our society that there are a lot of people who are traumatized. The fathers that they had in their life may not have always been good. I was not a perfect father, am not a perfect father, but I keep striving to improve. And, you know, now my kids are older, and when you do that, I'll just say this, your parenting style has to adjust. Some parents are just unable to adjust with the fact that their kids are maturing and growing up. And I'm the opposite of that. I'm thankful. My kids are very diligent. They're hardworking. They're gifted. They're smart. They're intelligent. They're handsome with my son, beautiful with my daughters. It's a privilege to be their father. But I wasn't always a perfect father. But I have strove. I've made the effort, whichever is the correct word, to become a better father as I went along. And if you have not improved your parenting skills, then I challenge you to do so. But a lot of people who did have very poor role models as fathers are oftentimes stigmatized when we refer to our Heavenly Father, because they equate him with the father that they had in front of them. And I want you to know that there are people who counterfeit $100 bills. They you know, deliberately set out to defraud people by making this phony money. But because there is counterfeit $100 bills, that does not disqualify me from appreciating a genuine $100 bill that I can utilize for the purposes that I need to utilize it for. And so I just want to encourage you that an example of a father that had serious shortcomings and maybe, you know, traumatized you, he may have abandoned you, he may have abused you, neglected you, whatever. I want to encourage you to pay attention to this study that we're going to talk about, because our Heavenly Father isn't like that. Our Heavenly Father is perfect. It says here, the second thing that I wanted to address out of verse number 8 is he knows what we have need of before we even ask. He is not detached from us, but he is very aware of what's going on in our lives. And so today, as you are dealing with the issues of life on this Wednesday, I want to assure you that you have a Heavenly Father who is concerned about you. He's moved with compassion for you, and he knows the things that you have need of before we even ask. And so when we pray, it is not going to be the first time God has ever heard about our prayer request. And so I'm going to go through this prayer. I believe that there are some powerful things that I can share from God's word that will make a difference in people's lives. And so the first thing that I want to address is our Father who is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, heaven is a place where there are no shortcomings. There are no weaknesses. There's no sin. He has divine perspective. A lot of times people say that perception is reality, but really that's not always the case. You know, I have thought that I've seen things at times, But when I looked at it again, I realized that my first perception was incorrect, that my perception was flawed, not the reality was flawed. And our Heavenly Father, he dwells in heaven. He has an eternal perspective, one that is not just myopic on the moment or fixated on the very instant, the very moment, but he has a timeless perspective. Now, God, he understands time, but time is just a window that is focused inside of eternity past and eternity future. And so oftentimes the things that impact us, it's because we are living in that moment right then. But Jesus operated knowing that there was something beyond the cross. There was a joy beyond the cross. And so I want to encourage you today that if you have needs in your life, that your Heavenly Father is very aware of them and very concerned about them and has a solution for that need. And so we're going to be touching on that in greater detail. So our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that word hallowed simply means holy. Holy is your name. And so when we are addressing our Heavenly Father in prayer, we need to know to whom we are speaking, who we're talking to. We are not just talking to the person around the corner. We're not talking to a person down the street. We're not even talking to a political official or a judge or a police officer. We are talking to the holiest entity, if you will, the holiest person. In fact, God defines holiness. He is holiness. God is holy. And he says, holy or hallowed be your name. And so a lot of people, the only way that they know the name of the Lord anymore, because society has tried to so compartmentalize and limit society's exposure to the reality of God, that the only way that people know God is as a cuss word or taking his name in vain, or at best, just as a historical figure. I want you to know that he is more than just a historical figure. He is alive, he is vibrant, and he is on the throne. And so it talks here about hallowed be your name. So I want to talk to you a little bit today about who God is, the Word of God reveals to us by his name. And before I do that, I want to address a passage of scripture out of Psalm 50, verse number 16 through 21. And it says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. This is the part that I wanted to address here. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. First of all, God is addressing this particular passage in Psalm 50 to those who are trying to avail themselves of the covenant, but they are not walking in holiness and they are not treating God as their Father. They are not walking in a covenant relationship with him, and yet they are still trying to avail themselves of the blessings that God provides. And that is not going to work. And so God addresses the issues. He says, this is what you do. You hate my instruction. You cast my words behind you. Does that sound like modern day America? When you saw a thief, you partook with that. You've been a partaker with adulterers. In other words, There was sexual sin that was going on, which is a violation of covenant. You give your mouth to evil, not to holiness. Your tongue frames deceit. You are more comfortable lying than you are telling the truth. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. You've done all these things, and I didn't say anything. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you. And so let's talk about God as he is versus some of the other idols or deities or mythological gods that have been created by man. God is, he is not created in our image. I'm an imperfect man and he is a perfect God. I'm a mortal man. He's an immortal God. I am a corruptible human being. He is an incorruptible. And the difference between him and mythological gods was when the Greeks and the Norse and all of these other entities, they created their own deities. What they did was they created those gods in man's image, only with supernatural abilities. In other words, their gods were just as flawed, just as confused, just as unfaithful as the other people in their society was. But on top of all of that instability, they had supernatural powers. The difference with God is God created us in his image. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, all of a sudden, the image that God created us in was distorted, because now we were not in fellowship with God. We were now flawed human beings instead of living in the image of holiness that God had originally created man to dwell in. We were now flawed. The reason that Jesus came was to redeem us from sin, from death, from the curse, from the law. He came to redeem us from all of that and restore us to the image that God intended for us to have all along. And so that is a great thing. That is a fabulous thing. And so here in Psalm 50, God says, "You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you." There are a lot of people who proclaim they have high platforms in our society, and they will throw out the name of God, and they truly believe that God is created in that the image that they are talking about, that he is just like them. And I want you to know that God is holy. He's holy, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. So please understand that coming into the presence of God, we are coming into the presence of the holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 3, it says, "And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah was going through a time of transition, as was Israel, because Uzziah had reigned for such a long time in the nation of Israel, and that was the year that he died. And it said that Isaiah had a vision of heaven, and the angels were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And when there was that revelation of the holiness of God, I believe that Isaiah's ministry changed in Isaiah chapter 6, because all of a sudden he sees himself and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And all of a sudden his perception of what was going on in himself and in those around him was that he was falling well short of the holiness of God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In our own, we are not holy. And you know what? It is impossible for something who is already contaminated, it's impossible for someone who is already contaminated to purify themselves in and of their own power, their own abilities. It takes an external capability to be able to restore to purity that which has already been contaminated. And so thank God that we have a God who is holy. Praise the Lord for that. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses came into an encounter with God, and it says in chapter 3, verse number 5, then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. There wasn't anything particularly special about the dirt or the sand that Moses was standing on, but it was simply the fact that the Holy of Holies, the Holy One of Israel, had come, and Moses had an encounter with him, and he said, you know what? You are standing on holy ground, and there are some things that you have to let go of when you're in a holy place. There are some things, and listen, those things, I don't particularly understand what the importance of taking the shoes off at the burning bush was. I'll just be honest with you. I have some understanding of it, but I don't have a particular perfect understanding of why that command was. But I know this. When God says, you need to take this off because you are in the presence of the Holy One of Israel, you're in the presence of the God who is holy, I need to do as he says. I need to get rid of that out of my life. And so when it says in Galatians chapter 5 about all of those things that are the works of the flesh, and that we don't need to have those, that instead it will violate our inheritance, it'll deprive us of our inheritance in the kingdom of God, I want to get rid of them. I don't want adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I don't want any of that in my life. I need to get rid of that. And so when we come into the presence and we're praying and saying, our Father in heaven, you are holy, we need to realize that we need to analyze ourselves the way that Isaiah did, and God, and say, God, see if there be any unclean thing in me. David said that. See if there be any unclean thing in me. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But the good news about being in the presence of a holy God is he has a solution for our unholiness. For Isaiah, it was an angel took a coal from the fires and touched his lips and says, see, now your lips have been cleansed. For David, it was the mercy of God when he repented and restored unto him the joy of his salvation. For us, the thing that cleanses us is simply this, the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so the consequences and the guilt of our sin could be removed, and he restores us to the image that he would have us, that he would have had us to live in all along. And so I want you to know that every person you encounter, they are either God is working to prepare them for an encounter with his holiness, or if they've already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then they are in the refining process and the transformational process of being restored to a condition of holiness. Not only did Moses have that encounter, Joshua had an encounter with the commander of the Lord's army in Joshua 5, verse number 15. And he said, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, I'm really impressed with Joshua, because Joshua encountered the commander of the Lord's army, and he approached him. Now, I believe he did that with a great deal of caution and reservation and respect, because I'm telling you that The commander of the Lord's army, the angel of the Lord, he's not one of these cute little cherubim, the porcelain figures that you see with just little chubby baby cheeks all over and just little smiles. And oh, aren't they so adorable? And they play such beautiful harps and all that. I believe that the angels of heaven, that the angel of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army, I believe that they are that he is very powerful, that he is quite intimidating in size. Intimidating in authority. I believe that when we submit to God and resist the devil, that the devil will flee. I believe that we serve an almighty God. And so let me take you to a few more passages here in the book of Revelation. First of all, let me just follow up here. Revelation 4:8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That is what they cry out. It says they do not rest day and night. They continue constantly declaring the holiness of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so that's in Revelation 4, verse number 8. In Revelation 1, verse number 8, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And then in verse number 17, it says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.'" So it is very clear that this God who is holy is Jesus, because he is the one who is, who was, and is to come. And just as a little side note there, for those of you who may be dealing with really overwhelming issues today, I want you to know that he's the Almighty God. He's the omnipotent God. He's not only holy, he is all-powerful. Let me just say one more thing. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 19. We're going to try and squeeze this in before the end of the broadcast. Joshua, when he was confronting the people, and he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And he said, "But if you want to choose these other deities from Egypt, go ahead." And they said, "No, we're going to serve the Lord." And Joshua said this: "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions." What Joshua said, I'm going to have to begin on that on the next broadcast tomorrow, because I want to touch on it. But I want to know what Joshua was telling him is, you can't do it on your own. And today, if you're listening and you are trying to be holy or trying to be good enough, I want you to know you need God's help to be able to do that. So, Father, I pray for those who are listening right now. God, that we're maybe making our best efforts. God, we need you to make us holy as you are holy. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."